Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hang with us till then. Then right at 6:53, you go back to what you missed. That sounded more like a demand than a request. But
sometimes people like demands, Nick.
Some people love to be told what to do.
Some people pay for that service.
I need 100 Cleveland men.
I think it's Bill Belichick. I think he pays for the service of being told what to do.
Apparently $9 million so far.
And when to do it. Worth it for him. Not for the. It's disgusting. I tell you right now, that's unbecoming of an elderly statesman. Good job, Bill. Well done, buddy. I mean, how just disgusting.
You seem appalled.
I mean, yeah, younger than his daughter, for criminy's sake here.
Younger than his granddaughter.
Oh, my. Oh, ew. Good job, Bill. That's okay. Can we just open Pandora's box?
Yeah, sure.
That is what 90% of men are thinking, right?
I don't know.
Like, when our wives are around, like, how could he do this? I mean, he's a grandfather. He's 73, she's 24. This old soul stuff, what a weird line. And then we talked to our friends. We're like, I get it. I mean, if I was that age and that was me, I get it. It'd be good for him.
Can I overshare for a second?
Oh, I love when you overshare.
So I was dating this girl when I lived in Houston, and she told me her story about her dad and everything. She's like, you know, my dad just 70 years old. He hit 70, and he divorced his wife of like 40 years, like a long time, and then started dating someone that was around 25 or so, and just flat out told his daughter, like, I got like 3 years left in me. I'm not going to live a long time. Like, I'm at the end here, and this is how I want to go out. And I think she wanted me to be, like, very consoling, you know, to be very, like, well,
but
that's an
mind,
awful.
You're like,
I'm like, your dad stinks. What an awful human, this and that. And I was like, okay.
I would have needed to see a picture first. Then I could make up my mind.
Okay.
You know?
You want me to, I should have asked for photos.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about here?
You're giving me 55% of the information I need to make a real decision here.
I think just based off
like
of everything,
if he was a,
I was like, yeah, okay.
Was that in Houston?
Yeah, in Houston.
If he was a Houston 6 and she was a Houston 9.
Well, he's a 70-year-old man, so right, okay, I mean,
so,
I don't know that
he's a Houston 4.
Is it possible to be a Houston 6 at 70?
Yes. I mean, it's on. Okay, how about
this? I think he was letting his money talk for him.
If he was a Houston 6 as a 70-year-old,
yeah,
which as a 24-year-old probably makes you a Houston 3, and she's a 24-year-old Houston 9, The math really, I mean, at some point you just got to say that's 1 + 1 = 2 there. Good for him. But not if you're his daughter.
She was
pissed.
Because
that's just how disgusting.
She was pretty livid.
And
she was also pretty mad.
Like, we're also in judgment of him.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. Yeah. Good for you. Also, 40 years. Didn't there just become a point in marriage? Like, my grandparents got divorced 35 years into marriage. And I just remember
35 years in.
At like 8, I was like, now?
Well, I think people get to that
end
point.
You know what I mean? Like, you.
They get to that point that Bill's living in right now where it's like, I'm getting up there and this is, I don't know what's coming after this. I got to just make the most of it all.
And listen, my grandpa has been remarried for, I want to say it's like 30 years now. He's happy, right? My grandma was certainly happy.
Sounds like
single,
it was the right move then.
But like, now as a married man, I've been with Vanessa since I was 21. Yeah. I don't remember what my life was like
without
my wife.
You're not miserably married though. If you're miserably married.
Not right now.
Well, yeah, we'll check in as we keep going. And that comment's probably going to cost you something. That's going to be a bag purchase down the line or something like that for you.
Well, I just think we've gotten to the point where we're not there yet, but like another 10 years of this, I mean, it's just a lot of work if we get divorced. If we split up, it's just going to be a lot. Let's just forget staying together for the kids. Let's just not, let,
Well, 10 years from now, though, you take the kids completely out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when people actually are like, hey, am I happy or am I not happy?
Is it like a lot of married couples are actually happier once the kids are away? I think that's going to be me and Vanessa. When there's not three little mongrels constantly like throwing themselves in between us, blockers, if you will,
for blockers.
Those married people out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still going strong.
I know it.
40 years. That's. Once you get over 30 years,
he was knocking on death's door and was just like,
Did they have a prenup at least?
No, I don't think there was any.
So he gave away half his stuff
that
he amassed for 40 years. Okay. I mean, good for him.
But
he had
a lot. He was fine.
So you brought this up in the pre-show on basically the Deion Sanders threat.
Yeah. So we played a clip earlier in the show with Aditi, and Aditi was on the 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, and I was listening to that conversation, and then Chris Moeller, one of the co-hosts on there, mentioned to Aditi about the idea that, well, Deion's going to be the head coach 2 years from now anyway. And then they all just kind of chuckled and went along with it. And I thought to myself, there's no way. Like, one of the beautiful story arcs of Shedeur Sanders going to the fifth round is that the Deion becoming the head coach narrative never exists anymore. You just have to think about it for a second, and it's just never going to happen. Because if Shador's awesome this year, Kevin Stefanski is going to get the credit, and you'd never move off of Kevin Stefanski then as the head coach because he's the one that got Shedeur to be great. If Shedeur stinks, then guess what? He's a fifth-round pick. You're not firing Stefanski to bring in Deion Sanders over a fifth-round pick. We are absolved of ever having to have the will Deion Sanders coach the Browns conversation ever again. Well, you're welcome.
And here's the thing. If Shedeur starts this year, takes over the job, and is the quarterback of the Browns for the next decade, at some point it might rear its head. Here's the thing, though. Deion's 57 going on 58. And there is a point where the older you get with NFL owners now, it gets substantially harder and harder and harder to get that first NFL job. It's easier if you already have success and then you're a 60-year-old getting another job.
The difference there, though, is that in theory, if he's still quarterback 7 to 10 years from now, it's because he's doing a lot of things right. And that would mean that Stefanski then couldn't get you over the hump. Maybe kind of like a McDermott situation in Buffalo where you're just knocking on the Super Bowl's doorsteps but can't get you over. If they move off of Stefanski, it's not for a rookie head coach at that point. You're in too good of a position to give the keys to the castle over to a rookie head coach.
So you think in 5 years, if Stefanski can't get Shedeur over the hump, you think Shedeur isn't going to say, hey, I know that guy just got fired. Can you at least talk to my dad?
First off, I don't think you're getting fired if in 5 years Stefanski has you knocking on the doorstep. I think that is so illogical because if you're knocking
on the
doorstep
of
the Super Bowl,
right?
It just doesn't make any sense. There's a reason why Brandon Bean has a million years, or not Brandon Bean, I'm sorry, Sean McDermott has had a million years attached to this because knocking on the doorstep and doing this in 5 years, you've accomplished a lot. And so, yes, I've met the Browns. I know they're capable of anything, but that's just so illogical.
I mean, I do tend to agree with at least the intermediate hypothesis that Deion is no longer on board for the Browns specifically. Now what will become really interesting is if Deion goes elsewhere, like if Schottenheimer doesn't work out like we all think he won't, and a year from now Dallas is looking for a coach.
Yeah.
And if Shedeur plays this year and it doesn't go well, does then Deion make the call and try and get Shedeur to Dallas?
100% in play. But at that point, it's no harm, no foul. Doesn't matter to us.
But it's going to be – I just think the Deion stuff in general, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't end up – to me, if he doesn't end up an NFL head coach within the next 3 to 5 years, it's because the stuff at Colorado just has – it either plateaus or it goes the wrong way post Shedeur and Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, there's a scenario where Colorado remains like a, I don't know, let's say a 7, 8, 9 win team or whatever. And they have a really good quarterback that they just recruited and got. So they should be pretty good this upcoming year. But and then Shedeur is just kind of whatever. And then who's bringing that on board? Like, the NFL told him he was nothing and didn't want to hire him when he was coming off a 9-win season. And Shedeur was perceived to be one of the best quarterbacks in the class. They're certainly not going to be salivating at the mouth for Deion if he fails at every turn.
Now, this does lead to a conversation that I think specific to this year. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the definitive answer. But given that Shedeur was the second quarterback off the board for the Browns, given that I would be really surprised if Kevin isn't a little leery of the – the circus around Shador, given how much he hated the circus with Baker, and certainly that was the part with Deshaun that I think wore on him the most. We put out, the station put out a Twitter poll earlier today about, you know, who do Browns fans want to start at quarterback. And Shador did get the second most votes. I think he, at one point I looked over, it was 36% of the vote. Joe Flacco, I think, has got something like 43, 44%. And what's interesting about this is I think for Shador to start, at least early in the season, I think he's going to have to be head and shoulders above the other quarterbacks to win the job, because I think he has to overcome hurdles in Stefanski's mind to get the job.
Yeah, like, who does the tie go to? If he is on equal footing with Dylan Gabriel, does he still win that job?
No, not. I think Dylan Gabriel is... I think Kevin Stefanski loves Dylan Gabriel in a way, and I think that does matter to NFL head coaches.
Well, so there is something to the idea if you don't play Shador, he might actually have more value at the end of the season. Like, if you play Dylan Gabriel and you play Kenny Pickett, at the end of the season, it's like not touching when you drive a new car and it goes off the lot, it immediately depreciates in value. Not seeing him actually play in the NFL for a whole entire year, he might end up with more value at the end of the season. In a weird way.
I don't know about that, because I think people ask, why the hell didn't he see the field if, you know what I mean? Like, if Dylan Gabriel plays.
I'm not talking for him being a starter or anything down the line. I'm just talking for, like, maybe some trade. Maybe you're right. Maybe they look at it and say Dylan Gabriel was better than him, so Shador just stinks and you just throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I do find the whole entire thing interesting. I think, I don't know that Stefanski wants Shador to win this battle, but I think it's in his best interest that it's either Shador, Pickett, or Gabriel.
I think whether Shador was Andrew Berry's pick or whether Shador is Jimmy Haslam's pick, I don't think there's any difference to Kevin Stefanski. I don't think Kevin...
You think he'd be taking an honest approach here?
What do you mean?
Like an honest approach? Like, just whatever I see with my eyes will be the deciding factor?
No, I don't think that. No, because I don't think coaches... I think we... For instance, we'll do the Shanahan thing, where Shanahan thought Brock Purdy was the better quarterback and still gave it to Trey Lance. I think Shador's greatest hope is that he impresses Andrew Berry and that Kevin Stefanski somehow overruled. I do, and
I know you're right to bring up Shanahan, because he 100% knew and thought that Trey Lance was the was just basically doo-doo, and then Brock Purdy was a much better quarterback, and he still went to Trey Lance, and then he went to Jimmy Garoppolo after that.
I mean, I think Kevin has done his darndest to say, hey, Deshaun didn't fit my system. And I'm not saying publicly. I'm saying Kevin plays the media game behind the scenes so much better than people give him credit for. Doesn't say a darn thing into a microphone that matters, but behind the scenes, he knows how to work, and him and his team know how to work the NFL media. That's why there's still been no blowback from any of the failure over the last couple of years, including with Deshaun, including with Baker, and he is a head coach offensive coordinator. But I think specific to the Shador stuff, like, I think so much of Kevin's messaging externally that's on the low to the media, the anonymous stuff, I think is, I've just never had a quarterback that fits my system, right? Even Joe Flacco, that's probably the biggest reason why I think we should discount Flacco, is he doesn't 100% fit the system.
No, it's not even close.
And so Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett fit the system as well, if not better, than Shador, and they don't come with any of the other hype and questions that will annoy Kevin Stefanski. I think Shador has to be head and shoulders above anyone to get the job right out of the gate.
And I mean, again, we'll see how it all plays out. I just think Stefanski's got to look in his best interest here. And whatever quarterback does look the best, I don't know that it has to be head and shoulders. If he just looks better, I think he should win the job.
I mean, what if it's better by a nose? So
what interest does he have? If it's better by a nose, what interest does he have in giving that to Gabriel or Pickett over Shador?
I mean, he drafted Gabriel first, and I think he believes in Gabriel more, as seen by that.
Where he's drafted has to dictate, because again, if we're saying he's better by a nose, we are saying Shador is better.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would take a lesser quarterback just based off of draft position. We've seen it happen before. It's just a different scenario.
I think he would take him because he likes Dylan more, because he believes in him more. Hence, when you have the
two players that go in the same bucket, it's so interesting, because if you're thinking long term, like Kenny Pickett, you can't put above, because Kenny Pickett's not going to be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
So like if Shador's better by a nose, you need to play Shador, because he's got a chance to actually be the quarterback of the future, and he's got a chance to be at least a backup at worst years down the line. And the same thing would go for Dylan Gabriel as well. It's just how authentic would he be if it was Dylan Gabriel versus Shador and it was neck and neck?
So it's draft position in my mind, and it's draft position, and I think Kevin really wanted to draft Dylan Gabriel, and I think Andrew Berry really wanted to draft Shador Sanders, maybe at the expense of Kevin wanting Shador on the roster.
Listen, if you're Kevin...
Like, do you think in that moment, with that value...
Yeah.
If everyone else in the room wanted Shador and Kevin was the only holdout, you think that's stopping those guys from making the call?
No, not at all. But I also don't think if everyone in that room didn't want Dylan Gabriel and Stefanski was the one pounding the table for him, I historically wouldn't think that would get the job done either. But it looks like it might have.
Oh, I think that was their gimme. I think it was, you know what, we haven't done anything for you.
It's a generous gimme in the third round.
It's very generous. Don't love it. Don't love that kind of gimme, but that kind of stuff does happen in the NFL all the time. Who do Browns fans want to start at quarterback? Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders. Right now, Joe Flacco with 48% of the vote, Shador with 34% of the vote, and then Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are the also-ran candidates. And will Shador have to be head and shoulders better than the other quarterbacks to win the job? More on that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. How much Derby coverage do you watch there?
I usually love the Derby, and I usually watch a lot of it. I've been to the Derby. I like the Derby.
Yeah.
I used to love horse racing. You know, when I was like 15 years old, I used to go to the horse track, me and my buddies, and we'd spend Friday, Saturday nights just gambling on the horse track at the horses. Like, it kills me that I live 7 minutes from a horse track, and I just very rarely make it over there these days. 15-year-old me would hate 36-year-old me.
I think 36-year-old you would also hate 15-year-old you if we're just...
That's true, too.
Turnabout's fair play on that one.
That's true, too. I would think 15-year-old me was just a brat.
I think this one probably a lot more easy to deal with than that one. Fair?
I don't know. I was pretty laid back, even at 15. I just cursed a lot, and I was very... I don't know. There was a lot about society that didn't make sense, and I just tried calling it out consistently.
I was like
a hippie in the 70s. No, I just don't care as much. Oh, now.
Okay, no, that's nice, right?
Yeah, that is nice. But I'd be mad. I think 15-year-old me would be mad that I live so close to a horse track, and I very rarely make it over there because I was obsessed with horses for like a 3-year stretch. In fact, I at one point was like, if sports radio doesn't work out, I'll go work for HRTV, which is horse racing TV. That now has become like the FanDuel TV or something like that. I don't know what it is. And so I loved it, and now I do nothing with it.
I obviously worked at Northfield Park.
That's right.
Growing up. When I was young and broadcasting.
That's right. Didn't you almost get bucked by one of the horses?
Almost got ran over by a horse, yeah. Yeah. Turns out I have no technical skill to run a Chiron. That's why I didn't last in the booth. And I ended up being one of the third corner guy.
Yeah.
Who my job was to point it at the horses and then you push it immediately down and then run around the side.
It's a big job. You don't understand. For the gamblers out there, like 15-year-old me, we cared about what you were doing.
I must have done a good job because they never wanted me to leave that spot. But yeah, I remember there was an announcer guy and I remember just being like mystified at the guy announcing the horse races because I was like, this is not human.
They're like hockey announcers and that there's just another level to that broadcasting that we just don't have.
And he was just like a country guy. I don't even know he actually was an announcer. He was just a guy that came in, could talk quick and say all the horses' names really quickly and do all the lingo. It was great.
They're usually like auctioneers end up doing that job too.
I think you need to dress Charlotte up. I think you... I think you guys should just derby it up this weekend.
Little run for the roses?
Yeah. I think we can get...
Mint juleps abound?
Mint juleps, yeah.
Man, I got so hammered when I went to the derby on these mint juleps that were like... At the derby, for some reason, there was like $8 mint juleps. Like, incredibly cheap.
Is that
cheap.
A good... Okay.
Incredibly cheap and just full of just booze everywhere. I got very hammered. Yeah, good times. I will not be doing that this weekend, though. I just don't see it happening. How much of the Derby are you taking in?
Probably about a good 3 minutes. You know, real good 3 minutes.
There's always that's what we'd say you're good for. There's always
3.5 minutes more. Like.
There's always NFL players that are there in some capacity.
Yeah.
I wonder if this would be the weekend that Shador would make a big appearance
at the Shaderby.
Yeah, remember when Baker did it? And Baker did like the whatever their version of a first pitch essentially is when you like make that big announcement in the very beginning. Baker did it, and we all lost our minds here.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big moment.
Do you want? Okay, if Dylan Gabriel did that this weekend, will we lose our mind?
I don't think they're inviting Dylan Gabriel.
If Kenny Pickett,
I don't think they're inviting Kenny Pickett.
If
either.
Tiny baby hands, Kenny Pickett. If he did it, would
Kenny Pickett would be in the background with a group of like Tom Brady, who's always there, and Baker does go a lot of years too, by the way, and like they'd mention all the players, and then Kenny Pickett would be in the photo and not mentioned.
So we were talking about Shador Sanders, and will Shador have to be just that much better, head and shoulders better than anyone to claim the job right out of camp? I think this is a different question once you get 4 to 5 weeks into the season, because then I think there's more time to earn trust for Shador. And I just think, like, between mini camps, rookie mini camps, OTAs, training camp in the preseason, I don't think there's a huge runway specifically for Shador if Kevin Stefanski already has Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel ahead of him in his mind.
Yeah.
So once you get into the regular season, I think it changes a little bit, because then it becomes, we got to save our bacon, right? The pressure hits. Pressure's always there in the NFL. Not like if you start 1-4 like the Browns, or 0-5 like the Browns might be able to do. But what is an up-and-up quarterback search or quarterback run look like for you?
A quarterback run? Start?
Quarterback competition.
I'm not going to be the person that if Shador doesn't win the battle, I'll be like, this thing was rigged.
What if Shador doesn't make the roster?
I can't make any promises. If Shador doesn't make the roster,
I'm gonna
have a lot of questions about what happened there.
So if you think he doesn't make the roster.
We'll know that with the lead up. We're going to know, because we're going to be out there ourselves, and we're going to have all the media watching him like a hawk. We're going to know. It's going to be painfully obvious, but I just don't see that happening.
We're not going to be out there as much as we normally are. Like, that's what makes this difference from, like, 6 or 7 years ago, when we would watch Deshaun Kizer, is there were so many more opportunities to watch him.
The first 2 weeks, aren't they? They're doing because I think they're on the road, right? The first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like that even limits it even more.
So I just think it's interesting. Like, do you think it's 100% that likely that he makes the roster?
Yeah, I do. I don't know. Unless it was something really outrageous, where all of a sudden, again, something out of his control. Think about it though. Like, he doesn't. What is he going to fall into that would limit him from not making the roster?
I mean, this is a pass-fail thing with Shador. Like, if he really upset teams, and he did. Like, every report is, name any team that he worked out with. Almost every team, there's some report that he did not come off right in his interviews, or they gave him whiteboard work, and then he couldn't do it, or didn't do it, or didn't study hard enough. Like, that is a pass-fail thing here with Shador.
I just think the Browns have been so lenient when it comes to letting people with problematic histories. And Shador doesn't even have a problematic history. He was just a little bit of a nuisance. Be around the team and let them try to figure it out. And so I think they're going to let him figure it out. And I think his play will speak for itself.
Here's the thing. My rebuttal to you is, I don't know. Like, I don't think I can definitively say 100% he makes this roster. That doesn't mean I think it's 98% likely he won't. But I do think, because of the...
I mean, there's only one...
I think
one...
he comes in with strikes against him that Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and Joe Flacco don't.
Sure, but there's only one quarterback on this roster right now that we can legitimately say will be there week one, and that's Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. I mean, I think this whole thing about Kenny Pickett has a better chance to win the job than Joe Flacco, I really struggle with that. I would say Joe is right behind Dylan in terms of most likely to be here. Because I think, listen, if either Dylan Gabriel or Shador wins the job ahead of Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, who's going to keep you more honest if they're behind you in the quarterback room? Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco? I almost called him Joe Flackett.
Flackett works too.
I think Joe Flacco.
Yeah, for sure it'd be Flacco.
So.
But then you're gonna waste time and actual games with somebody that you're not going to carry over into next year?
Like, it's interesting. I think Browns fans are like, okay, now you took him. Let's stop talking about him because it doesn't matter because he's a fifth-round pick. It's like, guys, the Shador stuff is going to be the most intriguing stuff of every single thing here, because at any point, if he does the things that I think he did that upset everybody that saw him fall from a first to second rounder to a fifth rounder, he could be gone. And I really think, like, it, because I think that's part of him coming in and understanding that he's that close to the bandsaw. I mean, anyways, he's got to.
If that does happen, I'll call blouses on his career. Like, if that happens where he doesn't make the team, that's, yeah, I don't think that's,
well, I think he'd get picked up immediately.
No, I mean, because it would be the Browns saying, you are such a headache, you are such a this, you are such a that, and we in a month can't even deal with you. I don't know that just like him passing up all these teams on their draft boards, I think the same thing would happen to him on the streets.
All right, I know Jim in Strongsville wants to talk about the Kentucky Derby, but Jim, real quick, is Shador Sanders guaranteed a roster spot this year?
No, I didn't know you were talking Shador, but now that I agree with you 100%, Nick, the bottom line is if this wasn't a wake-up call for Shador and he comes in with some of the – I get it, they're alleged bad habits, but if he comes in with the bad habits, he's a fifth-round pick. They're just not going to put up. I just don't see the Browns putting up with it. You know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze at that point. So, no, I'm not going to do that. And I actually disagree with you, Nick, that Flacco's the most – look, what are you going to do? Can you imagine you're going to try – I get it. We all have this emotional affinity towards Joe Flacco because of the magic that was that season. What am I getting out of that guy if I'm going to start him from day one, knowing that he's going to throw a ton of picks? Maybe you win a few games, but you know what he is. He's a 500 to just under 500 quarterback as a starter. He's going to throw a lot of picks. I'd rather see the young kid, somebody with upside, and maybe we catch lightning in a bottle. So, no, I don't see that. And then as far as the Derby goes, you guys need to get into this more. Listen, Jonathan, I'm not sure 15-year-old you was much better than 36 or 8 or however old you are now, old you.
36.
But, like, you guys get, whatever. You gotta get into this, guys. You gotta go buy some.
I used to love it. Jim, I used to love it.
And by the way, you are giving Nick all kinds of credit. First off, by saying 3 minutes, and then secondly by saying it's a good 3 minutes. Come on now.
I'll split the difference. 3.5 minutes. But I can't promise it's good.
I was gonna say a mediocre 3.5. Would you take a good three?
Generous,
would you take a good three or a mediocre 3.5?
I don't know, Jonathan.
What was that answer? What happened to your voice?
Did you replay what you said there? A good three or a mediocre 3.5?
Oh, I just inverted him. I'm sorry.
I still don't think he's getting what I'm putting down. 216-474-0092. Nah, still night. Nope, not doing it. Todd Schrupp, a FanDuel TV racing host, joins us in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.